is preeminently the time to speak the truth, the whole truth, frankly and boldly. That the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Welcome back to AutismRadio.org, home of the world's first autism support radio network and proud 501c3 charitable organization, helping families challenged with autism every day get services they desperately need. Please help us make a difference in the autism community and find it in your heart to support 1 in 88 families in America today. Donate directly at AutismDonation.org. Now, stay tuned for a special broadcast of Hope Saves the Day with autism activist, super dad and author of The Spectrum Diet, master chef and the Hope Man himself, your host, Paul Simmons.
Thank you for that great introduction. As always, it's great to be back on another edition of Hope Saves the Day. On today's show, we have a very special guest who is a founder of a company called Heirloom Cloud. And we're going to learn a little bit about what this company is all about today. Our guest is named Jeff Weber. He was born in Buffalo, New York. He was a graduate of University of Massachusetts with a bachelor's degree in business. Jeff has led several enterprises in Tucson, Arizona, before responding to 9/11 attacks, commissioning the United States Navy as an intelligence officer. Throughout his military career, Jeff has earned his master's degree in strategy of the U.S. Naval War College and served on ships, survived Navy SEAL combats overseas, most recently in Russia. And at the rank of commander, Jeff has recently retired from the Navy and now uses his knowledge and skill set to help families who struggle to connect with their priceless memories and each other. Jeff, welcome to the program. Thanks for being a guest here on Hope Saves the Day, man. Definitely have quite a career, and we just also want to really thank you for your services, definitely as an officer.
Well, thanks, Paul. I just want to say, I hear that a lot. I think we veterans here thank you for your service, and I want to say you're worth it. I really mean that. I think every man and woman that goes to support and defend the Constitution overseas, we're fighting for a really good cause. And so I'm proud of the time I've been able to serve in uniform, and I think more excited to develop this this new phase of my life as a CEO startup with Heirloom Cloud. So thanks for having me on Hope Saves the Day. I just love the name of this, and I think as you also, Paul, as an autism dad, I want to thank you for what you're doing in this space as well. I don't think any of us ever plans on being a parent of a child with autism. Just like I didn't plan on creating this startup. It's a long story. And I guess my question is, how much time do we have?
So we're going to give you as much time as you need, Jeff, to tell this story, because it is a great story that we want to share with our listeners out there. Again, your story is very inspirational. Again, let's start off like, hey, how did this come to fruition today that we see?
Yeah. Okay. So, I'm going to back up a couple of years. This is when we got the epiphany for Heirloom. My son is on the autism spectrum, and a couple of years ago, he had his 16th birthday, and it was just before summer. And it was, hey, guy, you're going to be able to go work a summer job this year. You're now old enough to work. And in addition to his Asperger's, he also has a chronic illness. And it's so debilitating that it's going to be hard for him to find any traditional work. He was never able to finish traditional school. So we had tutors who would come to the home, and the state allowed him to take his GED test at 16 years old. And he was done with all his requirements. He's a very bright young man, but had struggled in many ways. And so here it is a couple years ago, I'm dad of my son. He's our baby. And when he says, "Dad, I'm just never going to be able to get a job," that really bothered me. Mm. And so ever the optimist, I'm like, "Hey, dude, there are so many things that you can do working from home. There's this thing called the gig economy. You could have this little cottage industry, an internet company, so many things you could do." Oh, he's kind of in defense mode, as sometimes happens. And I have no idea what to do. I don't know anything about business. And so I flippantly said to my son, I said, "You know, see these VHS cassette tapes and all those old memories that family members have been sending me for years because I digitized all of my own stuff and they wanted me to do that for them. I said, you know, you should turn that into a business. I bet you people would pay money if you helped them do that." Yeah. And he kind of perked up and said, "Huh, I think I could do that. Yeah. And I could do that from pretty much anywhere. But I don't know the first thing about business, Dad. Will you help me?" And so one thing led to another, got into the research and said, "Hey, Gabe, this is quite amazing. This is quite an enterprise, and people really need this service." And I've been hooked ever since.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. I mean, again, memories are everything, right? It leaves, you know, our legacy. And sometimes, you know, you watch a video, I always say, you know, I watch my wedding video as an example, and you look in the video and it's again on a VHS, maybe it's a little grainy, the quality's not as good, but you see, you know, Aunt Dorothy, who's no longer with us today, and you see her dancing and active and alive. Those are really important moments, I think, for us to have those memories. And again, what you're doing is amazing.
Well, thanks. I wholeheartedly agree about, you know, what happens in your brain when you're reliving these old memories. And really what's being triggered is oxytocin. And so it's that bonding hormone. It's basically the love hormone. It's why people like to watch cat videos. It may make us feel better, or we pet our dog. And I contrast that to, I think, what we see most often in the technology world, and whether it's Facebook or Twitter or you name whatever broadcast social media, it's really addicting us to dopamine hits. It's just a series of likes and follows, and I know it has a good place, but it's not the place to put your precious photos, videos, and other very, sometimes very sensitive memories. And so not a good place to serve those up. I remember some years ago, we were, me and the family, we were serving in Russia. And my wife's mother said, "Oh, you need to send us pictures of you guys in Russia. It's so amazing. I'll never get to travel because I'm not healthy, but I want to see pictures, and please send me pictures of the grandkids." And at the time I said, "Well, I'll just put everything on Facebook." But she would never get it. She'd never see the memories because the algorithm won't serve them up to my mother-in-law. Right. And it turned out that was not the place. And so for years and years, I've been watching the way we have not managed our very precious memories well. And so this had bugged me for 31 years of marriage. Okay. Like, we can do this better. And I had an episode many, many years ago where we had to move. Yet again, this happens a lot when you're in the military, and much of our possessions was going to go into storage for years. We couldn't have them with us. We're going to be living out of suitcases. And my wife was a little stressed, kind of looking around the house, thinking, "What's going to go in storage? What am I going to get to take with me?" And she went to our entertainment center. I'm dating myself, back from like the 80s. And she picked up a video cassette and she said, "This is our wedding video.
Right.
What are we going to do with this?" And that was really the start of this kind of long process. But I would love to, if you're all right with it, next talk about the connection to autistic talent.
Yeah, absolutely.
How that works in heirloom.
Absolutely. So, I mean, what was the connection? Obviously, your son, right? So now you're thinking, okay, this is something you want to do with your son. You're supporting your son. But what could this do for others too? And the long-term goal here.
Yeah. Thank you for this opportunity. So one thing I thought through was the whole business model. There's trillions of these articles, one of a kind physical articles to be digitized so we could save them forever on the cloud. And you know, where am I going to find such just very capable employees? So the economy is wonderful right now. It's hard to find good workers. And I don't just want any type of worker. I want someone who has very good attention to detail, because it's quite possible to really goon it up. Anyone who's ever done a DIY project will sometimes tell you, oh, I forgot to put it to the right resolution. And then I let the tape play for 4 hours. And when I tried to play it on my computer, it was all garbled. And so I had to do it all over again. It's really easy to mess that up. And people, whether they're scanning their old photos or digitizing their VHS cassettes, it requires a great focus and attention to detail. And so I was wondering, where am I going to find people like this? And so at the time, I had started this little business for Gabe, and we had 8 workstations running all concurrently in our little prototype facility, otherwise known as our basement at the time. And he, after a couple hours, came to me and said, "Dad, I can't do this anymore. I quit. I don't want to do this anymore. It's just not right." And I'm like, "Hey, Gabe, everything's okay. Why don't you show me what the problem is?" And so I came into where he was working, 8 screens, each one with a video was up on the screen. And my mind, as a neurotypical, went to one particular screen, because here we had a video of a guy leaning over a bed and yelling at his wife saying, "Keep pushing, honey, the baby's almost here." And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, this is a really uncomfortable situation. It was nothing. It was very professional, nothing graphic, but I felt a little uncomfortable watching this. And I'm immediately thinking, my son is uncomfortable with this situation. And yet, as a young man with autism, he didn't care about the content of the video. Right. It was right. Not salacious to him as it would be to many other neurotypicals. And instead, what he was having a problem with was, Dad, this is a Panasonic 3200 and it's stereophonic, and this one is coming in good and the other 6 are too, but this one here is monophonic and I can't work under these conditions because I cannot maintain the same quality over all. And I'm like, "Hey, dude, I love you." Yeah. And gave him a big hug. And I said, "Where can I find a couple hundred more people like you?"
I know. Yeah. Because it was about the quality. He was looking at the integrity of the product he was producing, and he wasn't happy with it. So
yeah.
It takes, you know, tremendous pride. We call that pride, right?
Yeah.
And again, autism provides a different lens to look at things very differently than you and I might look at it, right? You were focused on the content. He was focused on the quality of the product, you know, what he was filming. He could care less if it was anything, what it was. It could have been a war. It could have been anything. He was just looking at the detail of what he was doing.
And did it very well. And yeah. So we came to an epiphany that, hey, this is real. The you know, what some people might call superpowers,
right,
if you will, is actually a thing. And concurrently, at the same time, I was still working in the federal government. I was working for the Director of National Intelligence at the time, and they had a call for papers because they understood that we needed to change the way we were doing intelligence in America. Even after September 11th, it had been nearly 20 years, we still weren't getting it right. We needed to disrupt our community. And so I had looked at it for many years from the inside and said, well, our community, we all look the same and we all think the same. And we are actually oftentimes subject to groupthink, which is very dangerous in the analytical community. We all tend to believe our own assessments. And then I called our community a monoculture. Mm-hmm. Because we lacked a wide variety of perspectives. And so I wrote this paper, and it was disrupting a monoculture by recruiting autistic talent. And it won a Galileo Award from the Director of National Intelligence.
Wow, that's amazing.
It was fascinating to see that it had received such traction within the federal government. And then it didn't take long after that where other organizations started within the intelligence community, like the NSA, the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency, NGA, are now actively recruiting young men and women with autism. Wow. To work in the analytical community. And so we've seen these good news stories at Microsoft and SAP and Ernst & Young, but I felt especially encouraged that our federal government was now recognizing it as well. And it was more of a validation for me that this is really a thing, putting people into a place where they can really flourish using their gifts, understanding that there's some challenges. And my son has his challenges. Absolutely. Everyone does maybe some modest accommodations that they require. But these are things that we can work with those. That's not a problem.
Well, you know, you have that. And again, as you're looking to grow, you know, Heirloom, right? And the goal is to have employees, right? And autism, you know, autistics working for you and the company, and that, you know, the long-term effects of that is tremendous, because you think about it, number one, you're providing an opportunity for that individuals that might not normally have that opportunity. Number one, number two, like you mentioned, the creativity, again, they look at things very outside the box thinkers. I think, you know, you and I, most of the time we put things in a box, right? I mean, once in a while we might have an idea that goes outside that realm, but most of the time we're in that box. And, you know, it's just like trying to look through their perspective. And that's what's amazing. Like you said, you know, just like you had that light bulb moment when this kind of like sparked and you're like, oh my God, like you felt it. It was, when you're talking about it, I can feel the love and just the connection with your son there for that moment. And that's powerful, because that's real. That's just real. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, I'm an autistic dad. You're an autistic dad. You know, we love our kids to death. We look at, you know, yes, we have challenges. Yes, we work through some hard times, but when you get those magical moments, I call it, it's incredible. I actually do something with my son. It's a little different because he's a little lower functioning, you know, so he's not able to do some of those things, but he loves recycling. So we go to the recycling center together every weekend, and it's like this big project, and they let him use the machines there, and they got to know him, and he just loves it, you know, and you could just see him light up and he gets happy, and it's like he's being productive. And I mean, there's no better gift. So, Jeff, it's just touching my heart, just the story of this direction, what you're going with Heirloom. And it just, I don't know, it's just really exciting. So we want to really tell this story and share about, you know, what is Heirloom and how does it work and can people get involved in this?
Yeah, thanks. So it's a company that you can, we'll send you a kit to your home, to your door, which is essentially a box with a bunch of packing materials in it and prepaid shipping labels. You put any type of outdated media in that digitizing kit, whether it be old photo albums or VHS cassettes, or we just got the other day a bunch of little micro cassettes that this woman was saving on her old answering machine for years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so these incoming messages, and I would save, I got voicemails I have from my kids from 20 years ago.
Oh, wow.
I've saved. And I love those. Those are great memories, but
you hear their voices. It's like, it doesn't even sound like, I mean, like, oh my God, this is what you sounded like.
Yeah.
You
know? They're like these funny little kids with these squeaky voices. Yeah, yeah, hey dad, when are you coming home from work? I think the fish are biting. And right. You know, it's like, I love it. I love playing those memories, but anyhow, anyone can put any type of old media, even hard drives.
Really?
Like I got this external hard drive. I just want it all on the cloud. I don't know. Right. I don't want to plug it in. How does that work?
Right.
We have a woman that sent us a half a dozen her old mobile phones. Okay. She was changing them up every couple of years. And she said, I don't know how to get the pictures off of it. We take all of that, whether it's a VHS cassette or 8mm reel, any type of media, and we'll put onto your Heirloom account, and you can log in. It's completely secure, encrypted. You have your own password. You can keep those memories private, or you can share them one by one with other people, and then you can give different rights to those memories. And so, for instance, I have all of my memories. I've got about a terabyte of data on Heirloom of a whole bunch of memories. And I made my wife an editor to those memories. And so she can go through and say, oh, hey, Jeff, I never liked this picture of me. I'm deleting it.
Right. She takes it out.
Yeah. That's a please delete it. Or I'm going to change the name of this, or I'm going to make a folder called family. And I'm going to put these into the family folder. And I'm going to share that family folder with our kids. And I'm going to make them all contributors, meaning that they can reshare those with other people. Like my daughter who lives in Manhattan would say, hey, Dad, you forgot to share this with your cousin, Mark. And I'm friends with him. And he said, hey, thanks, Emily, for sharing your dad's memories with me. This is really cool. Mm-hmm. And so this is what we're building, Paul, is a private network.
Okay.
And so your memories—
That's important.
Yeah, it's really important. And so you are in complete control of the memories. If you want to share them with no one, they just belong to you. You can share them with hundreds of people, but you decide. You can always take those privileges away. You can completely control the memories. And so, as you might imagine, to digitize trillions of articles of old media takes a good amount of attention to detail and focus and handling. Mm-hmm. And so we expect to hire up to 200 additional personnel within the next 3 years.
Wow.
We're building a new facility, an expanded facility, which will launch this summer in order to help fund that. Heirloom is going to a Kickstarter.
Okay.
That will be the month of April, which is Autism Awareness Month. I'm sure as you're well aware.
Absolutely. It's a big month for us.
It's great because, you know, it's not just about we want to preserve your memories for life and make them always accessible. So no fire, flood or storm or hard drive crash is ever going to— you're ever going to lose your memories. They'll always be safe. Your memories on the cloud are so safe. We actually have 11 nines of durability in engineering speak. So that's 99.999% of durability. What that translates to is your digital files on the cloud, you are 411 times more likely to get struck by a meteor than lose a single file on the cloud. So the only way you're going to lose a file is if you delete it. There's no hard drive crash. The commercial cloud is fully redundant. And so it's copied in an encrypted way across servers around the world. I'm not revealing anything classified when I say that even the CIA has their most important data on Amazon Web Services, which is another commercial cloud provider. And so having had, the insight to see this happening in federal government, I said, let's bring these capabilities and this way to preserve people's memories to the commercial space, because it is, I think, just life-affirming. To be able to go back and just watch these wonderful videos of me and my mom, who's no longer with us.
Right.
And to, you know, hear her say, happy birthday, Jeff, as I'm blowing out the candles on a birthday cake from like 50 years ago. And it's like, that is so special to still have that.
Absolutely. And then, and like you said, you know, I think the biggest thing is, like, if people send you this stuff now and they have it, it's not going to degrade anymore, right? I mean, that's the biggest thing too. That VHS tape, you might play it a few times, and then the third time you go to play it, it might break, and then that's done. And then that memory may never be recovered again, possibly. So there's a fear of that. And this eliminates all of that by people doing this and being able to empower them. And I think the biggest thing for me, which you touched upon lightly, was Facebook, right? You know, Facebook is not private, as we know.
Nope.
And you know that any picture you put up there is pretty much free game for anybody to use as they want. Even if you don't have friends that you may not add, people can— it's there. So again, it's, you know, if you have precious stuff you want to share, do you really want to put it on Facebook all the time? Probably not. So again, this is nice because, like you just said, you can share it amongst your families. You give certain— maybe you say, well, I got this uncle, I don't know if I want to share this with him, but okay. You know, you might have some people in your family you don't want to share it with, but the fact that you have all that controllability and have that support system where, you know that this is a solid, you know, program that will— well, not program, but it's a cloud-based system that keeps this information, you know, pretty much, like you said, it's pretty much foolproof. It would be, you know, it's almost 99, like you said, 99.9%, you know, not going to get destroyed in that media unless you delete it. So that, I think that goes a long way with people. And just, I think them understanding that, Jeff, you know, I guess, who's, you know, like you said, who's looking at this stuff. And I guess if some people are, you know, maybe watching this, they say they feel uncomfortable with it. So what can you tell them, I guess, to maybe ease their minds, or like, hey, you know, I don't, you know, I don't know, I'm going to send this stuff. Are they going to be looking at all my stuff, or, you know?
So. Yeah. So that's actually, you touched on something kind of interesting, Paul. If we are digitizing your memories, and so you have old analog cassettes, in the process of us digitizing, we kind of have to see what's there. Okay. I will tell you, we've seen it all. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you, there's a lot of birthdays. There's a lot of high school and college graduations. There's a lot of people around a Christmas tree in every December. We've kind of seen it all. And it's actually kind of encouraging to me to say, hey, this is what the world looks like. You know, there's maybe someone's memories aren't as important to us, but I will tell you, we call every customer once their memories are complete and they're on their cloud, and we ask them, are they able to log in? Can they see the memories? And this one woman I was speaking with several months ago, we were on a Zoom call, and she was clicking through, and I just wanted to make sure that she could play her videos in real time. And she clicked on a video, and she was speechless. And I thought maybe the microphone wasn't working. And I asked her, I said, are you able to hear the video? I'm able to hear it. Is that right? And she was weeping. Wow. Listening and watching her mother from many, many years ago who had passed away. And she said, I'm sorry. Can we finish this call later? And of course, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah. Right.
Of course.
Yeah.
And I realized, you know, we're really doing something powerful here. It's so important to her, that memory we were able to preserve. And so, that is why once we digitize your memories from the analog media, we return your analog media to you. And so you can put it into archive, you know, it's safe. So if your house burns down or a flood or a hurricane, you're fine. Your memories are safe. But once we put it on our cloud, we no longer have access to your files. That's not true with Google and the iCloud.
Yeah.
They actually say what can go on their cloud. Our customers, once they have everything digitized on Heirloom, they continue to add their new pictures to their Heirloom account. And so all we know is how much storage they're using. So we know how much to charge them. And we charge very similar fees to Google and the iCloud and Dropbox. But we give you a little bit more for your money. We give you that privacy, that we're not turning you into the product. We're not monetizing your photos so that we know how to then sell you advertising.
Right.
And so we just reject that notion that's really prevalent within the technology community.
Okay. That's important. And I appreciate that. And I know a lot of our listeners would definitely appreciate that too. You know, so when did this actually start? When did you actually start doing this? How long has it been now?
Yeah. So it's coming up on 3 years now.
Wow.
Yeah.
That long already.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. And we've gone through a couple iterations of our platform. We're looking to release the new product within April. You know, the timetables are tough. It's been a while. We've got hundreds of customers on the platform now. And even then, Paul, we've never officially launched. And
really?
So we are launching on April 7th through Kickstarter.
Okay.
We have customers who find our website. They say, this is exactly what I'm looking for. We're happy to have that business, but it is now time to launch Heirloom and to go from hundreds of subscribers to hundreds of thousands of families that could be better served.
This includes our broadcast of part one interview with Jeff Weber from the Heirloom Corporation. Please tune in next week on the Hope Saves the Day to listen to part two.